You're listening to the Ordinary Vegan Podcast, where we teach you everything you need to know about adopting a plant-based diet, full or part-time. Our goal is to empower you to live a long and healthy life. You can find today's show at ordinaryvegan.net or on iTunes. If you have any questions, please send an email to questions@ordinaryvegan.net.
Hello, friends, and welcome to podcast number 45. This podcast is devoted to keeping all of you and your family as healthy and as happy as possible. And today, I want to discuss a tough subject that has become a public health crisis. And that subject is suicide. It's a subject I've wanted to talk about for a long time, but I was fearful that I would say the wrong thing. But that's the problem. People don't want to talk about suicide. When I saw that September is National Suicide Month, a month devoted to inform and engage the general public about suicide prevention and the warning signs of suicide, I finally got the courage to do this podcast. You may be wanting to tune out right now, and I understand. But mental health problems that can lead to suicidal thoughts are real, serious medical conditions like cancer or heart disease, and there should be no stigma ever attached to them. And suicide is now a top 10 leading cause of death. Anyone could be struggling with suicidal thoughts, and we can all do our best to help prevent suicide if we understand the issues. But the first thing we can all do to help prevent suicide is to talk about it. Before we get started, I want to say that if you are struggling with suicidal thoughts, there are immediate, confidential options to help you cope, and they are available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Just call 1-800-273-8255. That is 1-800-273-8255. There are also over 30 countries that are known to have national suicide prevention services and strategies. So please reach out to them. If we haven't met, my name is Nancy Montori, and I am the founder of Ordinary Vegan, the website and this podcast. I am here to serve you and provide you with all the research and information I can gather to help you live a long and healthy life. Before we begin, I just want to say thank you for all your support and your kind words. You inspire me to work harder and do better, and if I ever fail you, don't hesitate to let me know. Now, I want to share a story. On November 25th, 1991, at the age of 62, my father-in-law, Sid, committed suicide. From the moment Sid and I met, my father-in-law and I experienced a very close bond. And he was one of the funniest people I knew. He was also kind, and I never heard him say a bad word about anyone. We lived in Chicago, and he lived in St. Louis, so we didn't get to see him as much as I wanted. But whenever we did get together, we always laughed so hard. I always told my husband that Sid could come live with us anytime. It was close to Thanksgiving, 1991, and Sid and I were talking on the phone like we often did, when suddenly he told me he was overwhelmed and didn't have any food to eat. I was puzzled. I said, "Sid, you have so much food in the house." I knew that because he had freezers full of food because he liked to buy food in bulk and on sale. He said, "No, I have nothing to eat." Then I recommended that we call his son Steve, who lived close by, and Steve would bring him some food. At that moment, I didn't understand the gravity of the situation. Sid told me no, he didn't want his son to bring him food. So I said, well, what are you going to do? And he said, I don't know. Commit suicide? When he said that, I felt like I'd been punched in the stomach. And I said, what? What did you say? Did you say suicide? I thought I heard him wrong. Now, I have to share that my father-in-law was never diagnosed with any mental health issues. So I was very confused. I told him that myself and his son Dave were going to get on a plane and come to him right away. I told him how much I loved him, and I kept him on the phone, still not knowing if he was teasing or serious, but I knew I had to jump into action. I happened to be at my girlfriend's house when this happened, and I whispered to my girlfriend to call my husband immediately and tell him to call his brother and have him head over to Sid's house right away. I kept Sid on the phone until his son arrived. His son brought his pastor, and they talked with Sid. Eventually, later that night, after lots of reassurance from my father-in-law, his son and the pastor left Sid alone, believing he was fine. Meanwhile, my husband and I booked the last flights out and arrived in St. Louis in the morning. We went straight from the airport to Sid's house and started knocking on the door. No one answered. Then we started banging on the door and tried opening windows, but everything was locked up. We went to a neighbor's house to call the police, and the neighbor said Sid stopped by last night to return some tools that he had borrowed, and he seemed fine. But I had a horrible sense of dread. When the police arrived, they banged on the door, and I was praying so hard that Sid wasn't inside or he was sleeping and didn't hear us. The police decided to break down the door and told us to wait outside. We waited. They came out and told us that Sid had died from a self-inflicted gunshot. Later, we found out that Sid's father also died of suicide. It is very difficult for me to share the story, but I share it because suicide has long been a taboo topic, and from everything I have learned and read, addressing and talking openly about suicide and suicidal thoughts and feelings can save a life. If we as a group can save one life, then it doesn't matter how uncomfortable someone may feel. By the way, my discomfort stems from the guilt that I couldn't save Sid because I wasn't informed. I didn't understand, and that's why I want to share this information with all of you. Everywhere you look, people these days are stressed out. When I say stress, I mean that feeling that people have when they are overloaded and struggling to cope with so many demands. Demands that can be related to work, relationships, school, identity, and other situations. Anything that poses a real or perceived threat to a person's security can cause stress and depression. Social networks are also a cause of psychological stress. There is so much information flowing into people's lives right now, more than ever, and much of it is distressing and challenging. There is also evidence that cyberbullying is linked to depression in teenagers. And cyberbullying is hard to get away from because you can reach people anytime, anywhere, over social media. Millennials are the leading demographic who are constantly connected to social media, and 48% of them worry about the negative effects of social media on their physical and mental health. Many young adults are turning to suicide as an escape, and from 2000 to 2015, the suicide rate increased 27% among those aged 20 to 35. But they are not the only ones. In May 2018, Blue Cross Blue Shield released a report entitled Major Depression: The Impact on Overall Health, that showed that anxiety issues like depression are up 33% since 2013. Of all the age groups, the rise was highest among teens from 12 to 17 years old, increasing by 63%. And even older groups of people showed increases of 26%. Veterans continue to have a much higher rate of depression and suicide than the population at large. The good news is there is hope for anyone who may be suffering from depression and anxiety disorders because they are highly treatable. Now, let's talk about some warning signs that may help you determine if a loved one is at risk for suicide. Number one, major warning signs for suicide include talking about killing or harming oneself, or even talking or writing a lot about death or dying. Another warning sign is seeking access to guns or pills or other objects that could be used in a suicide attempt. If you know anyone who have feelings of helplessness, worthlessness, shame, guilt, self-hatred, or hopelessness, and a belief that things will never get better or change, they could be at risk. If someone starts getting their affairs in order, like giving away possessions, that could be a sign. Self-destructive behavior, like increased alcohol or drug use. Saying goodbye with unusual or unexpected visits or calls to family or friends. Sleeping too little or sleeping too much. And even a sudden sense of calm after being extremely depressed can mean that that person has made a decision to attempt suicide. Now, if you spot the warning signs of suicide, here's what you can do. A suicidal person may not ask for help, but that doesn't mean that help isn't wanted. People who take their lives don't want to die. They just want to stop hurting. Maybe you have a family member or friend who has been withdrawn lately. Instead of giving them space, reach out. They may not act like they want help, but be patient and present and try to listen without judgment and without trying to advise them on how to fix their situation. Look them in the eye and pay attention and allow them to speak without interrupting them. Ask direct questions about whether the person is thinking of suicide and has a plan. By the way, according to lots of research, you can't put the idea of suicide in somebody's mind, so don't be afraid to ask. If someone is telling you that they are going to kill themselves, do not leave them alone. And do not promise anyone that you will keep their suicidal thoughts a secret. Make sure you tell a trusted friend or family member, or if you're a student, talk to an adult who you feel comfortable with. Offer them guidance and assistance in seeking help from a mental health professional. Contact the Suicide Prevention Lifeline at 1-800-273-7255. TALK, T-A-L-K, or text the crisis text line by texting HOME, H-O-M-E, to 741-741. Things you should never say is, how could you commit suicide? You have a wonderful life. Or never say, I would be heartbroken if you killed yourself. Or that suicide is selfish and you have so much to live for. Or things could be worse. And for anyone out there who is dealing with depression, it's okay to say you are struggling or you are scared or that you feel alone. What you are going through is normal, but it can be terrifying, but there is help out there for you. Seek out a mental health professional at mentalhealthamerica.net who can find you the right care even if you are uninsured. And if you are in crisis, you can call them at 1-800-273-TALK. Mental Health America also recommends to anyone in crisis to build a support group. Reach out to trusted friends and family and share your feelings. The people you choose to confide in can help you through your crisis. They also recommend writing a safety plan. This would include writing down your thoughts, images, moods, and behaviors that indicate to you that a crisis may be developing. Make a list of others who may offer support as well as a distraction from the crisis. And ensure your environment is safe. If you have thought of ways in which you might harm yourself, work with a counselor to develop a plan to limit your access to those means. Always remember, kindness is power. So please be kind to yourself and be kind to others, because kindness gives hope to those who think they are alone in this world. That's it for today's podcast. Thank you so much for spending time with me. I so appreciate your support. And I am always here to serve you. If you have any questions or comments, don't hesitate to reach out to me at questions@ordinaryvegan.net. Please join our health and wellness community on Facebook. Just go to facebook.com/ordinaryvegan. You can find all my recipes on ordinaryvegan.net. Till next time.
Thanks for joining our plant-based community today. Together, we can accomplish great things. Please subscribe so you don't miss any of Ordinary Vegan's recipes and plant-based tips. If you have any questions or feedback, email us at questions@ordinaryvegan.net. Until next time.